Hey guys, welcome back to Thick and Thin with yours truly. I'm Katie Bilotti and I'm a blogger slash social media enthusiast, and this is my podcast. I'm living, I'm doing things, but I'm also learning at the same time, and that's where this podcast comes in. I kind of, you know, share the wealth of all the things I've learned, and a lot of which were learned the hard way. So tonight is no exception to that. I actually went back to school over the weekend. As you guys might know, I talked about it on my last week's podcast. I went back to college for my first alumni weekend, and boy, did it bring up some memories, okay? And so tonight, I'm going to be kind of reflecting on those memories. Well, not kind of. I'm going to be reflecting on those memories, a lot of which have to do with some jerks from my past. Tonight's going to be a very brutally honest episode of Thick and Thin, as all of them kind of are, but this one's like especially brutal. I'm going to be roasting some guys tonight, roasting some men. And I have a lot to say. I have some stories. I have some dirt I'm going to dig up from the past. Essentially, tonight is going to be like, you know, the Thick and Thin burn book. I'm going to like roast some guys. We're going to roast some guys on a rotisserie over a, you know, blazing fire of roasting. So that's what we're doing tonight. But as always, before I get into things, I want to introduce tonight's sponsor. Tonight's episode is sponsored by HelloFresh. Yet again, last week's sponsor was HelloFresh as well. As you guys can tell, I do really love HelloFresh. I use HelloFresh and I get very excited that I don't have to really go shopping, because, you know, grocery shopping here in New York is actually quite stressful, especially when you go after work, because I found that like just everyone and their mother goes after work. So it's really helpful to subscribe to HelloFresh, which, as you guys probably know, is a meal kit delivery service that shops, plans, and delivers step-by-step recipes, which are super easy. Some of them even take less than 20 minutes to create the whole recipe start to finish, which is music to my ears because I don't got time for that. It's great for busy girls or guys like myself, you know, that don't really have time to go grocery shopping or plan meals. So basically, in a nutshell, HelloFresh has perfectly curated meals for a busy person like you and me who doesn't have that much time, in the kitchen. You have a lot of things going on. Perfectly curated, delicious meals delivered right to your front door for about $10 or less per serving with free shipping, which you can't argue that. And if you guys want to get an amazing deal, and the deal is for a total of $60 off, so that's $20 off for your first three boxes, guys. All you have to do is go to HelloFresh.com/HelloKatie60 and enter the code, the promo code, HelloKatie60, and you get that awesome deal. Look at you, girl. You go making your food for yourself and not ordering Postmates every night. Anyway, so that is it for tonight's sponsor, and now we're going to carry on with the podcast. Okay. So, okay, where to begin? I have a lot to say, and I don't know how I'm going to like work it all into one subject. It's so funny because I feel like in my videos and like on my, you know, all my social media in general, I try to like stay in theme and like have everything, you know, kind of follow a theme. But sometimes, guys, you know, I just talk for days, and I have some notes written down, but who knows if I'm even going to say any of them, because I just have a lot to say, okay? It's like, you get it. You and me, we're old-time friends. You know, we get each other. So I'm just going to talk, and you guys can listen, and hopefully you guys will do that, like, head-nodding thing. Like, sometimes when I'm listening to a podcast, like, walking down the street, I like, find myself nodding my head, because I'm like, yes, girl, yes, I agree with you. So I'm hoping for some head-nodding during this episode, because I'm going to be, you know, talking about some things that I learned in school that I kind of forgot that I learned, because, you know, going back to school this past weekend was interesting. I feel like I kind of sound like a broken record, like an alumni broken record, because I feel like whenever alumni came back in the past when I was still in school, they were always like, oh my God, it hasn't changed a bit. But like, guys, it's true. Like, I walked around campus and I was like, oh, I feel like I woke up from a nap and here I am, like, at school still. Like, I have class on Monday probably. It just felt like that. It felt like I hadn't left. But then also in some other ways, it felt like I did. And I was like, thank God I left, because there were some, you know, some memories that were kind of dug up. One of which being this, I don't even know how this like came back into my mind, but I was kind of like oddly transported. I was at this party over the weekend with a bunch of my sorority sisters. We were all like kind of, you know, reuniting and such. And we were with the younger girls, and the younger girls threw us this like, this party, or I guess they didn't really throw it for us, but we like made it our party, you know. We were like, yes, it's for us, at their place. And so we were in this like this really small space. I forgot how like small college parties are and like how many people are just like crammed into each party. And we were at this, you know, at this pregame, And I ran, like, we walked in the party, and I ran smack dab into this guy who I hadn't seen in so long, like, probably, I don't even know, I've kind of, like, avoided him for a couple of years, and I ran smack dab into him, like, haven't seen him in a while, and all these memories just came flooding back from freshman year, like, all these, like, very painful memories, and it's nothing, like, it wasn't, like, a crazy, ridiculous thing, like, I'm gonna tell you the story, but, like, it was just, I just remember how scared I was freshman year. Like, all these just, like, random feelings, like, that I harbored freshman year just came back when I saw this guy's face. And I'm not trying to be dramatic. Like, it literally happened, and I was just standing there, and my friends were like, Katie, like, oh, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. Like, oh, my God. I just, like, just relived 4 years of my life in my head just now, but no big deal. So, anyway, I guess I'll just kind of briefly tell you guys what happened freshman year. And interestingly enough, I sat down and I filmed this whole story on camera, you know, obviously video form. So I was like sitting in front of the camera speaking about this whole story, and I filmed it and I never posted it. I filmed this last summer, so right before moving to New York, when the things, you know, the memories from college were still kind of fresh, and like I filmed it, and I didn't have the heart to post it, and I just don't think I was ready. Like, I don't think I was ready to do it, but for some reason, like, after being in New York for 6 months, feeling like I'm really secure here, I'm really, like, loving my life, and, like, I'm doing really, really well, and seeing this guy again this past weekend, like, there's something, I have the courage to talk about this now, and it's something that I really do think will help a lot of people. But I was kind of worried, also part of me was worried that people would think that I'm trying to be dramatic, or, like, you know, they'd call BS, and I'm just worried about people from my actual college listening and being like, that never happened, you're making it up. But, like, what I'm about to tell you, like, happened, okay? It really did. And, like, I don't even care if people don't believe me, because everyone, I feel like it's actually astounding how many people have a story similar to this. Like, it's disgusting how many people have a similar story from freshman year, a lot of us. So anyway, I was a freshman. Picture this. I'm going to paint you guys a picture. Freshman year, Katie, if you guys watched my YouTube videos, you know I was very obsessed with kind of being, you know, portraying myself or coming across as being the girl that has it all together. But I feel like a lot of us are like that freshman year. And even now, as a siren, it's like a siren. Cuts through the air in the background. So anyway, this was first semester freshman year. So I had, like, very few friends. I wasn't in a sorority yet. I was kind of just still getting my bearings, you know, figuring it out. Honestly speaking, I was kind of terrified of this group of girls, or this group of girls was really intimidating to me. And they ended up actually, now they're all my best friends, which is so funny thinking how, like, you know, time just changes things so much. And, like, the people that you think you'll never fit in with, you end up being, you know, really close friends with. Anyway, that's a whole nother story for another day. But basically, so I was in this class. It was, I don't even remember. It was like an entertainment. I don't even know what class it was. No, I don't even know. It was like an extracurricular or something. It was like, wasn't like a real, like, actually it might've been an English class, but I kind of, you know, treat English as an extracurricular because I really love English. It was one of the, like, just, it was a class. Okay. It doesn't really matter what class it was. But anyway, it was kind of like a small class. There was like 30 of us, I'd say, which, like, is pretty, you know, actually it's pretty standard for Elon classes because it's a small school, like a very small liberal arts college. So it's like not huge lecture hall style classes. It was like in a normal classroom. And so a lot of times what my professor would do in this particular class, which, you know, it was, you know, a decent size, he would split us up into like small groups and we would do work in small groups. So I was consistently put in this group with like a bunch of like girls who I, you know, didn't really know very well, and some guys, and they all like seemed to know each other. And I was always kind of like awkwardly like the one that didn't know everyone. And at this point, you know, freshman year, I was very into people pleasing. Like, I needed everyone to like me. Like, I was obsessed with that because in high school, I'd been bullied quite a bit and people didn't really understand or like me in high school. I didn't have like that many friends. And so I really, really was like just so obsessed with the idea of coming to college and like completely changing my life around and being a whole new person. And so that was my whole goal. So while I was, you know, in these group projects, I was always like, you know, doing all the work, like, you know, being that classic girl that like just wants everyone to like her. And it's like just sickening thinking about it now because I'm like, I just want to like reach into the past and be like, Katie, like, you don't have to impress everyone. Like, you just don't have to do that, girly. Like, people are going to like you so soon for just, you know, exactly how you are. Stop doing that. But whatever, you know, that's part of life. You learn, you live and you learn. So anyway, that was kind of how I was. And there's this one guy in my group who like consistently never did the work. And like, you know, I was like making excuses for him because I was like, oh, you know, he's just like so hot. You know, he doesn't need to do work. I don't know. I was just like very attracted to him physically. And he had this like very confident air to him. Like, you know, everyone liked him. I remember, you know, going out at night and always seeing him surrounded by so many people. Like he was a very big like frat star. Like, although we weren't in fraternities and sororities yet. It was like a little too early for that. We rush in the spring at Elon. So we weren't in like frats and sororities, but you could already just tell he was going to be like somebody in a fraternity. And he, you know, I have this weird thing where like I'm so attracted to frat guys. Like, it's so annoying. I hate it. Like, believe me, I've tried to fight it. Like, but there's just something about a, you know, guy in khakis and like Sperry's. I'm like, yes. You know, you might not understand that, but that's fine. I've been trying to like go for the intellectual types, but for some reason I just keep going right back to frat guys. Nonetheless, I was basically into this guy, and I don't want to say his name on here, so I'm just going to, like, not say a name, because I feel like just subbing a name in just isn't right, because this guy is a jerk. He doesn't even deserve a name. Anyway, so this guy in this group, we kind of had, like, some flirty banter going on, which I couldn't tell if it was just, you know, it was flirty banter, or it was him just, like, how he was, because he was kind of flirty with everyone, like, even, like, you know, our professor, like, I don't even know. He was just like, he was one of those guys that knew exactly what to say. And I think we all kind of know those people, or like come into contact with those people that just seem like they always know what to say. And, you know, you always know that there's something deeper going on. Like, they definitely, you know, there's just always something, and you always want to give them the benefit of the doubt. But at the end of the day, like they're people pleasers, like we all are. So anyway, took me 4 years to learn that, but regardless. So we'd been in this class for a couple of weeks together, and this guy, you know, we sat kind of near each other, and I just always had this like, just a, kind of a, an obsession with just like his energy. Like, I just wanted to be around him. I just, you called it a crush. That's what it is. I had a crush on this guy. I just did. And so, at one point in the semester, we did more group work, and I remember, so whenever we left class, we walked in a very similar direction, both of us, because our dorms were near each other's. And I would always like, you know, walk like a careful distance behind him. I would wait for him to leave first, or I would leave first, so I wouldn't have to awkwardly walk and talk with him, because I was like afraid of that. Like, that's scary. I get kind of nervous even now, like the walking and talking whole thing. Like, I don't know. It just freaks me out. I don't know why. So I'd always like make sure he was a careful distance, you know, out before I left. Anyway, so one day, you know, classic story, I walked out first because I thought he'd left, but he'd been like, you know, stayed back to talk to someone or something. And I heard his voice from behind me when I was walking. He was like, hey, Katie, slow down, like slow down for a second. And like, I turn around, and like, it was like one of those perfect scenes. Like, the sun was behind him. He looked so good. And I was like, hi, like, what's up? And he was like, so I have a question about this like project we're working on, blah, blah, blah. And like, something about the way he said it, I could just tell he didn't care about the project. But I was like trying to hide my surprise. I was like, wait, what? He wants to talk to me? Like, what the heck? Like, I was like, I looked down, I'm like, thank God I wore this dress today. Like, I look good, thank God. It's one of those classic scenarios, you know, and we're talking and he's like asking questions he doesn't even want to know the answer to, you know. And he was like, so like, would you ever want to get together and like study sometime? And I sit here now and I'm just like, how did I not see this coming? Like, how did I not see it? Like, he did not want to study with me. Katie, he did not want to study with you. That's not what he wanted from you. Like, why did you think that you, why? Why did you, and you know, honestly, sometimes like we tell ourselves the things that we want to be true. Like, we tell ourselves lies. We know very well, our head is, we have very strong, you know, brains. We know when things are awry, we know when things are not right. But sometimes, you know, we decide to distract ourselves with the idea that like maybe things, you know, we get obsessed with the idea that maybe we could be wrong. We love being wrong sometimes, because it means that like people actually want to see us for who we truly are and not just for our bodies. And like, you guys can probably even see where this story is going, and we're, you know, we're not even there to the part yet where I'm like, ah, but yeah. Okay. So anyway, the next day comes, we are planning on doing work together. We did have a project coming up. So like, I wasn't like fully, you know, really far off with the idea that we could just be studying, but like, guys, I knew it deep in my bones, somewhere in my bones, I knew what he wanted, but I just was so obsessed, or not obsessed, I was just so flattered, I guess is the word. Like, I was just so happy to finally get someone to notice me, you know, and it just felt so good. And like, it feels good. And sometimes you convince yourself that it's right when it's, you know, it's wrong, because you're just so obsessed with the idea of having some attention or somebody in your life. And so anyway, we go back to his dorm because it was like closer to our classroom, I guess. After class, and it was like midday, it was like 12 o'clock in the afternoon. Like, this was kind of like a relatively early class. And we go back to his place, and initially the guy, I sit on his bed. I like, cause like guys, I guess like, I don't even know if it was like, I guess guys did have desks in their rooms, but like his desk, I don't know. He had like a stereo on his desk, I think, or something. So he like clearly did all of his work in the library or like in his bed. But like guys at my school loved going to the library together. Like, I don't even know. They like all would just like take up tables at the library and like loved it, whatever. But I prefer doing my work at a desk like a normal person, or my kitchen table later on in college. But anyway, so I sit on his bed, and he sits in, you know, his bed across from me, and like we're like opening our notebooks, and like it really does seem like we're going to actually prepare for this like assignment or something. And then all of a sudden, like, it happened so fast. I feel like it always does. Like, his hands were just like in my hair, and we were making out, and I was like not too mad about it, because I was like, okay, well, this guy's cute. We're just making out. It's nothing crazy, like whatever. And I was kind of like on cloud nine. I was like, wow, like this is it. This is how college is supposed to be. Like, I'm so happy. I'm so happy about this. And then, you know, I was wearing a dress and tights, and I was very happy with my outfit. I remember thinking like, I love this purple dress I'm wearing. Like, I love the color purple. It like brings me this happiness. Red, I always declare that red is my favorite color, but purple is like my happy color. Like, there's a little part of me that will always love the color purple. So I was just so happy. I was like, yes, this is finally what I've been waiting for. Like, all of those shitty years in high school, like, this is it. I'm going to have a boyfriend. Like, I'm going to, you know, I'm doing great with my business. Like, I'm loving my YouTube channel right now. Like, my future is so bright. Like, it was like, la-di-da, beautiful days are ahead, sunny days, whatever. I was happy. And then he started working his way up to the waistband of my tights, because I was wearing some tights, because I was wearing boots, and it was like kind of chilly. It was like late fall, I think. Not that the season really matters, but you know, I was wearing tights, and he was like reaching for my tights, and I was like slowly pushing his hand away. I was like, no, don't destroy my fantasy here. Like, I'm loving this. Don't make it complicated. And he kept like reaching up towards my waistband, and I was like, I pushed him away from me a little bit, and I was like, you know, I said his name, and I was like, stop, like, can you stop? Like, I don't ruin this. And I was kind of like laughing, because I was like embarrassed. Like, I didn't want to come across too strong, or like I was being too vocal. I was like, no, like, let's just not do that, because maybe he didn't hear me when I said stop. Or like, you know, I just wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt, because I'm constantly making excuses for people. That's just my way of doing things, I guess. And so I kind of pushed him away, and he like looked at me with these like, this weird expression. I will never get this expression that he made out of my head. It was almost like you pay for, okay, it's like you gave your money to a cashier, and he like took back whatever you just bought. Like, it's like, okay, I'm gonna go buy like an apple at the store, and like he took your money and didn't give you what you asked for. It's almost like you didn't get what you thought. Do you get what I'm saying here? Like, that's what his face was like. It was almost like he was cheated in some way, and he didn't get what he paid for, or something like that, which is so sickening. But like, he didn't look like angry, like, but he just looked like he was cheated. Like, that was the kind of the expression on his face. And he was like, well, like, why? Like, why not? And I was like, well, like, I like you, but like, we hardly know each other. Like, I don't even know you, like, whatever. And this was kind of my first ever reality check, like in college, that this was like kind of a thing that people expect in college. And I don't want to like generalize and say this is the same, you know, how it is everywhere, but this was my first ever kind of experience with the college, you know, the hookup culture of college. And, you know, he looked at me in the eyes with that expression and was like, why not? And I was like, well, because, you know, I could give you a million reasons why not. But like, yeah. And I just said no. Very flat out no. And he said, and I will never get this stupid phrase out of my mind, no matter how much I try to like scrub this from my memory. He goes, so you're just going to give me blue balls? And I was like, blue balls. Like, I was like, I need to look that up on Urban Dictionary later. I don't even know what that means. He was like, you're like giving me blue balls. He said it a bunch of times and I was embarrassed because I didn't even know what it meant at that point because I was such like a little child fetus girl who didn't know anything. And, you know, long story short, I looked up blue balls on Urban Dictionary and it was like basically when you're like not sad, like you're like horny or whatever and you're not like fully, you know, satisfied or like, what's the word? You can look it up if you would like. So I don't really feel like discussing this on my podcast for more than 30 seconds. So anyway, that was what he said to me. And I looked at him in the face and there were just like tears like burning at the back of my eyes. Like I was just sitting there trying not to cry. And I was mad at myself for even crying or like I was mad at myself for feeling like this because I was mad at myself for being so stupid and thinking that this was going to be something nice or, you know, whatever. I don't even know. I was like, felt stupid because like moments prior, I was like, I'm going to date this guy. And now I'm like, wow, like, no. So then I just like quietly, you know, closed my binder and I got up and he starts saying like, Katie, no, like come back. Like, no, like come back. And I was like, no, this is just not what I expected. And he was like, it's just so funny because after this day, like, he just never looked at me the same. And I think that's what crushed me the most is like that I almost hooked up with a guy. Like, you know, I'm not going to lie. Like, it did cross my mind that I might just like give him what he wants because I was like, oh, like, you know, if it would make him happy and make him tell his friends that I'm cool and like all the things that I want, like, maybe I'll just do it. And like, what's another, you know, number? Like, what's the big deal? And, but I'm so happy that I literally, so this is what I actually did. That's what I thought about doing, you know, just to make him happy. But like, thank God I didn't because he'd still probably be the jerk that didn't talk to me after, like knowing how guys in college a lot of times are. I got up, you know, I put my shoes on, my boots, which took me a few minutes. I'm not going to lie. Like I was kind of mad at how long it took. I was like, damn it, this is not my dramatic exit. And I walk to the door. He doesn't even get up off the bed. Like he's just like, he can't be bothered now that he has blue balls, whatever. And I like walk to the door and I'm like, I said no. I said no. I will never forget this. And I slam the door of his room, not his apartment. I almost said apartment. No, he did not live in an apartment. He lived in a disgusting dorm room. Slam the door. And the saddest thing about this story is like, I mentioned that I hadn't seen him in a couple of years, like now, but like for the 2 years that ensued after that, I literally saw this guy every single week and he pretended like he didn't know who I was. He literally, I kid you not, pretended like he didn't even know who I was. And I was like, wow. But you know what? This experience like sobered me. It taught me so much. And this was freshman year, Katie. So like since then I've learned a boatload more, but this was kind of my first little reality check, my first little like aha moment that like, you know, the guys are going to fuck you over. People are going to fuck you over. People are not always going to live up to your expectations. And like, not everyone or like, you know, everything in your life is meant to be long lasting. Like some things are here, fleeting little things to make you learn, to remind you of your morals, to, you know, teach you either love or lessons. You know, and there's, I mentioned this in my first ever podcast on here, like there's no such thing as wasted or lost time. You know, all that I don't even know how many minutes, I guess like a half an hour I spent with this guy that I was like, that left a bad taste in my mouth. That's not wasted time. You know, definitely people are rolling their eyes because they're like, Katie, I was in like a 3-year toxic relationship. It doesn't matter how long it was or like how little of time it was. It's like none of that time is wasted because it taught you something. And, you know, it might be a hard pill to swallow, whatever it taught you, but like, it's not lost time unless you like forever dwell in it and be, you know, make it lost time as in like you beat it to death. If it's something that happened, like, yes, you have the full right to be upset over it. You have the right to react and you have the right to be upset, you know, but there's a time where it's, you're done. It's, you've reacted enough and that you need to move on. And like, you know, you'll know when that time is and you might need a little bit of like a push, either another person or a distraction to get you over that hump and to get you over it. But like, it's either love or it's a lesson. And that was something, it was just so crazy going back to school this past weekend and seeing this guy. And I literally laughed to myself when I saw him. Of course, now he knew my name, miraculously remembered who I was. And he was like, Katie, how's New York? How's L'Oreal? And I was like, in my head, I was like, I literally don't have, I don't have time for you. I literally don't have, I don't even, I'm not even gonna waste breath on you, you idiot. Like, it was one, I just want to say, you know, it's one thing for a guy to misread the signs and to, like, you know, go in for something and then you just say no and him to be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like, I think, you know, misreading signs is something that happens sometimes. But when a guy, you say no, when a guy makes you feel bad for saying no or tries to persist after saying no, that's, he's a jerk. He's a jerk, and it's going to take, you know, you could either, I would either never forgive him or never, like, let him back in my good graces, or, like, always just remember it. Or, like, it would take him, take a lot of convincing for me to see him in any other light, because that sort of thing, like, it's just, it's unforgivable. Like, no guy has that uncomfortable of, you know, a ball situation that he can't just, like, keep it in his pants and not fuck everything in sight, you know, just for 5 minutes so we can have a rational conversation, or just, like, make out in your bed, like, you know, classic college students, and not do anything else, like, because I don't want to at this point in my, you know, career. My freshman year, I was, like, so nervous about everything. I didn't even, like, I wasn't very sexually active, you know, at all, and I didn't really want to go there. And so I was uncomfortable and whatever. It was just crazy going back, because he literally pretended like we were best friends. He was like, so, like, how's L'Oreal? And I was like, so, how's being unemployed? I didn't say that, but it does make me feel great that he doesn't have a job. Let's just say that. But anyway, you guys asked me, you know, like, what was it like going back? And, like, honestly, you know, that was kind of like a random story that, like, I guess it wasn't random. It was very impactful, and it's something I literally remembered for the rest of my college career. But, like, that was just one story. Like, I cannot tell you how many different stories just, like, flashed through my mind as I walked through campus and, like, as I went to parties and I witnessed some drama, you know, that some girls, younger girls were experiencing, and, like, just things that happened. And I was like, oh my God, you guys have no idea what's about to happen. Like, post-grad is, like, yeah, it's stressful sometimes. And, like, I was scared yesterday night because I found a mouse in my kitchen and I was freaking my shit. I, like, went in there to get popcorn and a mouse just, like, skidded across my kitchen. And now I'm, like, looking around my feet because I'm, like, nervous it's going to come out. I named it Gouda because I just thought that was, like, an appropriate name for a mouse. But here, Gouda Gouda. Anyway, so there are, like, you know, moments post-grad where I'm just like, this is really shitty and I wish I was still in college and could just, like, be reckless and, like, whatever and not have a job and whatever. But, like, then when I go back, like, when I went back this past weekend, I was like, wow, like, I've learned so much in my 4 years here, and I don't have any desire to come back. like, obviously come back for alumni weekend, like, I'll never forget the place, but I don't have any desire to go back to college, because I will say things are so different in the sense that, you know, we kind of convince ourselves that so many things are normal when they're so not normal. They're inhumane. Like, you know, the hookup culture became something that over the 4 years it was kind of normalized. It was kind of something that we all just expected, or not expected, expected, but also accepted. You know, a lot of us just, like, had one night stands and, like, crazy little things like that. And, like, which, like, you know, your body is your body. You can make your own choices and do whatever you want, essentially. But, like, towards the end there, I was kind of losing myself, I think. And I'll admit that. I'll, you know, tell you right now, I think towards the end of college, I was kind of, like, in a haze and, like, was just making decisions kind of stupidly willy-nilly and got myself into some shit where I just wasn't thinking straight because I was just so done and so brainwashed. And I think in college, you kind of do become brainwashed and you think that certain things are, like, so normal. And the funniest part about Elon and coming back was just, like, the guys, because so Elon is, like, a small school, like, 6,000 undergrad, like, total. And it's, like, a very interesting demographic. It's, like, mostly girls. So we have, like, a 60-40 ratio. So way more girls. If you go out to, you know, parties and stuff, there's way more girls. And it's funny because I didn't really, like, notice it because it just became normal and it, like, didn't really affect my social life, to be honest, because I had so many guy friends and, like, so many girlfriends that it felt kind of, like, 50-50 in my mind. But, like, when you take a step back, like, going back this weekend, I was like, oh my God, there are so many girls. And so guys, you know, because of that, are so on their high horse at Elon. This could be, like, the same everywhere. Like, I don't even know. But, like, guys just thought they were, like, gods. Like, literally, because they could, you know, if a girl kind of, you know, proved to be a little bit too much for them, you know, they would just find another one because there's so many options that, like, they would just, you know, be like, oh, so-and-so is trying to, like, date me or something. I'm just going to, like, go on to this other girl now because I can't do it and I don't feel like committing. And this girl is, like, a freshman and, like, hotter or whatever. So anyway, it was just very interesting going back and having all these guys that I graduated with who have absolutely no game now. Like, they have, like, no game in the post-grad world. And they were, like, hitting me and my friends up, like, at night, like, texting us and, you know, wanting to hang out. And I'm like, oh, my God, you literally gave me no, like, you literally could not have been, like, less interested in me, like, dating me or, like, being with me in college. And now you're texting me. Now you're sliding into my DMs. That's so funny. But it's kind of expected because I feel like, you know, guys mature at a later rate than girls, obviously, like, you know, statistically. So, you know, they kind of come to their senses later on in life. And I'm kind of holding on to that because my dad's always told me that guys aren't fully mature until they're 25. So I'm kind of holding on to that stat. And it's actually scary how close I am to 25, because I always remember 25 being like this faraway number. And I was like, oh, Dad, I have to wait so long until guys are mature. But now it's like in 2 years from now, I'll be 25. That's really crazy. I don't like that. Anyway, so going back to Elon, I just kind of realized, like, just how much I've grown, in short, and, you know, how many guys just were jerks. Like, there was that guy that was a jerk to me, and then, like, I don't even want to tell you how many other guys. Like, I'll kind of gloss through, because I did promise a burn book, so I'll gloss through some little anecdotes. So also freshman year, this guy I went to banquet with, which is kind of like an away weekend, like at a beach. I wasn't, like, extremely attracted to him. This was, like, still also when I was, like, a dumb freshman. I didn't know that, like, when a guy invites you to an away weekend, a lot of times he expects you to sleep with him, like, have sex with him, basically. And I didn't really understand that. So this guy asked me to away weekend. I refused to sleep in the same bed as him because I wanted to, like, not hook up with him. He was being, like, really creepily flirty with me. And I was just like, I thought we were going to be friends and hang out at the beach, but I guess not. And so then I didn't sleep in the same bed as him. And I, you know, hung out with my friends instead that were also there. And I actually overheard him in the kitchen talking to some other girl, saying that he's mad that he brought me because I won't hook up with him. And that, you know, like, he was like, well, like, I invited her, so she should hook up with me. Like, it's just crazy. Like, I should have invited so-and-so because she would have hooked up with me. I'm like, oh, wow, are you that amazing? Is your, like, you must have the biggest. So that was another guy that's a jerk. Like, I don't even want, there's just so many. There's guys that just, like, strung me along, or, like, you know, would be all, like, saying one thing to me and then saying another thing to his friends and making me look crazy. And it's just, there's so many jerks. And, like, you know, I'm not going to, like, completely say that I wasn't a jerk at points in college, because I definitely did ghost some guys. You know, I did, and I talked about it in my previous podcast. But, you know, it's just kind of weird how, like, normal, you know, it's almost like these guys were jerks to me and my friends, and then we would, you know, drink and hang out with them the next weekend like nothing had happened, and it was just normal. And that's just so fucked up. Ugh. Anyway, so, yeah. And I guess now that we're 33 minutes into the podcast, so I guess I can answer. I did get a question on my Instagram that I was very, very, you know, inspired by, and I really wanted to talk about. It doesn't really have to do with, like, the jerks in my past, but I guess it could kind of tie into that. So I'm looking for it. Okay, Lauren Cochran, that's the girl. She asked this question, and it was an amazing question, and a bunch of people liked it, so I really want to answer it. She says, are men intimidated by powerful women? Do they prefer the quote-unquote simple girl? And a bunch of people commented, and they're like, please talk about this. Please talk about it. Okay. So I'm going to talk about it. Spoiler alert. So I'm trying to think of, like, a specific example, but I can't, because there's so many times that I feel like in relationships, or, you know, during college, even after college, even now, kind of in the 6 months that I've been in New York, you know, kind of navigating the dating scene here, I've kind of felt in certain ways, certain, you know, experiences and times during just, like, you know, navigating the dating scene in general, that I felt like I kind of need to dial myself down a little bit. Like, I need to water myself down, you know, especially, you know, me coming from the position of being, like, a YouTuber and having a lot of kind of baggage, in the sense that I, like, literally talk about my sex life online, and just, like, every little detail of my life is online. And it's just, it can be, you know, a lot for especially a guy to be, like, you know, handling and taking in. So that's, like, one thing. But, like, you know, kind of to make this as applicable to everyone as possible, like, we all have things that we're afraid to kind of you know, share, or that we like won't literally come out and say at the dinner table, you know, on our first date with this guy, like we're not going to be like, oh, hi, my name is Nicole and I have, you know, anxiety. Like you're not going to like come out and just, you know, throw all your dirty laundry or your skeletons that are in your closet on the table. You're not going to do that. And so a lot of times we feel like we need to kind of like dial ourselves back and water ourselves down for people. And we kind of have this notion, or we like think in our heads, that we are a little bit too much sometimes. And I'm constantly wrestling with this concept that I might be a little bit too much sometimes, because sometimes I'm kind of bad with social cues sometimes. Like I will admit that. Especially when it comes to like, you know, dating guys, sometimes I find myself saying some things and I'm like, oh shoot, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Like I find myself thinking that all the time. And so I'm very careful sometimes, like when I don't want to mess it up, like I'm really nervous, I'm going to mess it up with a guy, I'm very, very careful and like deliberate about what I say. And so, you know, sometimes I've gotten myself into tricky situations with guys because I haven't been, you know, my full self up front. And you know, sometimes my full self kind of comes out later on in the relationship and the guy gets, you know, overwhelmed or thinks that I'm trying to like, you know, come on too strong. My favorite thing was like in college where I was seeing this guy my junior year, and we were at the point where we'd hooked up like and seen each other. We'd been out in public in the daytime with each other, you know, hung out and stuff. Like my friends and his friends were close, and so we were like constantly, you know, together in social situations and whatnot, and we were hooking up also and like whatever. And I, you know, behind closed doors, he was like seemed very into me. I had another one of those feelings like I did freshman year where I was like, maybe this could be something serious. Maybe I could date him, whatever. Got excited about it. And, you know, at one point, I guess I maybe like just said something wrong. I don't know. Maybe I said like, I think I might, what I did was like his parents were visiting or something. And I was like, oh, I'd love to meet them or something like that. And that like just threw him off and like freaked him out. I don't even know if that was it or if I like maybe just like was too honest with him. I don't even know. Just something shifted in our relationship like literally overnight. And then he just dropped me and ghosted me and was like, see ya, like whatever. And then I naturally made a blog post about him and all of his friends found out. It was just a lovely, beautiful situation. Anyway, but yeah, so like I have definitely dealt with experiences where I felt like I was too much for guys. And so I think like the way to put it is like, I feel sometimes like I come on too strong with guys. Like I, you know, kind of, I'm like a strong drink. I'm not one of those like watered down tequila shots that you get like a gross little bar. Like I am the full drink. Okay. I am a full drink, a Patron. And sometimes guys cannot handle it without, you know, a couple limes. That's a great little analogy there, I guess. Anyway, I mean, just long story short, like I feel like I think intimidating is a difficult word, because I feel like a lot of times when you say that you intimidate guys, people are like, oh, come on, Katie, like you're so on your high horse. You think you're so great that you intimidate guys. But I genuinely think that like girls like us, like girls like me and like everyone else in the world that just like, you know, has beliefs and has morals and like puts their foot down where they don't want to, you know, when they don't want to hook up with someone, or like just like, you know, expresses themselves firmly in any way, shape or form. That is to me what is a strong woman. Like a strong woman to me is someone that just like that is firm in what they believe in, you know, even if they're not fully convinced that that's like their end all be all what they believe in. Like even if there's a little bit of room for like learning and growing, like you at least are confident in life to the point where like you see this girl on the street and she's like living her life, she has her passion, she's doing life and she's not afraid. And, you know, she knows what she wants, and if she wants a relationship, she, you know, that's to me what a strong woman is. And look at yourself, because you can find these qualities in you, I guarantee it. Like, I know you guys, I know the type of followers I have, and I know that you are also this person that I'm describing. So, you know, strong women sometimes intimidate men. You know, strong and or powerful women intimidate men because, you know, I mean, I'm not going to really like, I'm going to save you guys the history lesson, but we all know that like men for centuries, for forever have been like the breadwinners, and women, you know, only so kind of recently came to the forefront of being people that can, you know, forces to be reckoned with, that can like, you know, lead generations and be the president. And like, you know, we have a lot more power now, and guys just deep in their bones don't know how to accept that yet fully. Like even if they say they do, there's still part of them that's like, I am masculine. I am a man. I am man, and you are woman, you know, that sort of thing. So that's like always where it's going to be deeply rooted. But I do I have this, you know, this thing where I feel like sometimes we make excuses for men that can't handle us at, you know, at our full value. And we almost are like, okay, I'll meet you in the middle and I'll discount myself in order to be with you. When the real thing, you know, the real thing we should be looking for is like, you know, there are so many men in the world. If you see studies, you know, there are so many men in the world that do like appreciate women and strong women. And there's a lot of guys that like don't really know it because they're scared of the word feminist, but they are feminists. They want us all to be equal. There are men like that in the world. And it's just tough to find them because a lot of times they just don't match up to our other standards. Like, you know, they might not be the cutest guy in the room and they might not be X, Y, and Z or be what we expected. And a lot of times also we're attracted to jerks. And so in order to be with that jerk, we discount ourselves and we water ourselves down. And so that's why we strong women end up with guys that are simple or guys that want us to be simple per se. But here's the thing. I think as a strong woman, as a powerful woman that I am and that all of you guys are, we owe it to ourselves to end up with strong and powerful men, with our, you know, people that are our counterparts. And it might not be the loudest guy in the room. I don't want you guys to think that strong people are just extroverts, because that's not always true. I think strong, powerful men are men that aren't threatened by women, that aren't threatened by us. And, you know, I actually wrote this down at work today. I wrote, a truly strong man will not be intimidated by you. He will be inspired by you. A strong man will not feel the need to step over a strong woman. So like, you know, completely disregard everything that is, you know, important to her, or step on a strong woman to strengthen himself, you know, equal, not threatened. That's the big thing. And I think that we all owe it to ourselves to find these strong men wherever they are in the world, or just these men that you know, that instead of, you know, forcing us to shrink, they inspire us, you know, also, like, not just, we don't just have to inspire them, you know, or they don't have to be inspired just by us. Like, I want to feel inspired by the guy that I'm with to make myself better, you know, and not comparing myself as in like I'm lesser than him, but I just want, you know, us to like vibe off each other in the sense that I don't feel like I'm constantly, you know, keeping things in. I think, you know, when you're in a bad place where you feel like you can't speak your mind and there's things that you're not saying, and, you know, because you're worried that he's going to end it, or he's, you know, you're worried that you're going to come on too strong. And like, you know, there is a such thing as social cues. Like, you should know, like, you know, when to like start saying certain things or whatever, but like, that's up to you. And you should not feel like, you know, what you're doing, your natural just like habits are being like fully dictated by the person you're with, because like, they're not, you know, they're not ready or whatever. I don't know. That's just the way I see it. I definitely do think that men are intimidated by strong women, because, you know, for centuries we have been knowingly dialing ourselves back, because we just think that that's just the way to do it. Like, that's just the way to, you know, that's the way to succeed. That's the way to adapt. And that's the way to ultimately end up with someone, because that's what we've seen, you know, for generations. And I think that this is finally the generation where we can end that stigma and we can end that habit, and that, you know, we can search, you know, seek out these strong men instead of, you know, dialing ourselves back for these schmucks that, you know, for some reason we're attracted to. So those are kind of my little two cents. And, you know, I think I did mention this previously, but like, you know, you will be too much for some people and those are not your people, and you will be too much for some guys. And, you know, I fully, fully encourage you to just say what you want to say. What's that song? Say what you need to say. Say what you need to say. Because, you know, if all goes to shit, at least you know. At least you know. And you're not wasting, you know, not to say that your time is wasted, because you are learning, but like, you could just fill that time with so many other things, you know, than just sticking around with a guy that doesn't like fully appreciate your worth. Because there are so many, like, it's statistically, I've seen studies, granted they're by Cosmopolitan, but I do trust Cosmopolitan magazine. You know, that there are so many men in the world that are truly feminists in the sense that they want us to all be equal, and they don't, you know, they're not afraid of strong women, and, you know, they're out there. We just need to find them and have the courage to, you know, give them a chance. And I think that's important. So just hang in there. And it's funny because I always, you know, in my life as a YouTuber and stuff, people always ask me, like, are you worried that guys won't find you, you know, attractive or whatever, or like want to be with you if you're like, because you have so many followers and you have such a presence and you're talking about your relationships on here and whatever. And I mentioned it and I was like, you know what, I literally said this 2 years ago on a Tumblr ask. Like, it was like a Tumblr ask question. And they asked me that question, like, do you think that men are intimidated by me and just like what I do on the internet? And I was like, you know what? Sure, they probably are, but I don't care about those guys. Like, any guy that's intimidated by me just like isn't getting that bread in his life. You know what I'm saying? It's like, if he's intimidated by me, that's because he has time to be intimidated by me, which like I'm not interested in that. Like, I want him to be chasing his passions and I want him to be doing everything that I'm doing in his respective field. And like, I don't have time for a guy that has time to shit on my choices. And like, that's just not something I have time for. Like, if in his spare time, he should be, you know, doing other guy things, not, you know, shitting on me and me being too much for him. Like, oh, that's great. Tell me more. So yeah. Okay. That's my little 2 cents for tonight. As I mentioned previously in the podcast, if you guys want to get that awesome discount on HelloFresh, so $60 off your first 3 boxes, so that's $20 off each box, all you have to do is go to HelloFresh.com/HelloKatie60 and use the code HelloKatie60, and you'll get that lovely, lovely discount. And yeah, that is it for the podcast. Hope you guys enjoyed my 45, 46-minute ramble about the jerks of my past, the jerks of Katie, Elon, YouTube, high school, college past, I guess, in a nutshell. But yeah, that's it. Hope you guys enjoyed, and I'll talk to you guys all next week. Bye.